Good morning, everyone. Let's open in prayer, eh? Heavenly Father, we just praise your name. You are the mighty God, Lord, and we just lift you on high. Lord God, you know all the things that have been going on this week in our lives, Lord. And so we just bring that to you today as we come and we open your word, Lord. We just invite your Holy Spirit to be with us today. And we just pray, Lord, that our hearts, our minds, and our spirits are open to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for those of you that don't know me, my name's Quante. I'm part of the preaching team here. If you're a visitor, welcome. And it's great to see you all here. And to those online as well, welcome. So we're making our way through the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're up to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. Pastor Paul last week started us on chapter 6, 1 to 4, about true righteousness. And how the attitudes of the Pharisees mattered. That the giving to the needy and to the poor was done for show, and it wasn't for the it was more for their glory rather than for the glory of God. The Pharisees did the right things, but for the wrong reasons. So today is actually part two of a mini trilogy. And I promise you, it's not going to be as long as Lord of the Rings or Back to the Future or any of those sort of trilogies. Promise you. Disappointed, eh, Paul? So the reason why I call it a trilogy is there's some similarities here across these next few verses in terms of it's about the attitude of the heart. So what is the attitude of the person when they're giving to the needy? Today, what is the attitude of why we pray and how we're praying? And next week, Pastor Jeremy, is an ad for next week, on fasting. So let's have a look at the verses that we're talking about today. Cool. So Matthew chapter 6, 5 to 13. So this is from the NIV. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Anyone here want to be called a hypocrite? Yes, you do want to be called a hypocrite. Jesus was calling the Pharisees here. That's what he was calling the Pharisees. The people who were listening to Jesus at the time would have been very well aware who they were talking about. For the images of the Pharisees in the synagogues, praying, and on the street corners would have been a common occurrence. A hypocrite is someone who acts out a part that is not true in reality. This brings us to the first point. Pray from the heart, not for show. The Pharisees were pretending to be something that they were not. They gave the appearance that they were close to God. And they were probably praying out loud, using lots of big words and making lots of noise. But the truth is that they did not care what God thought of them. They only cared about what the people thought. They only wanted the people to stop and say how wonderful and amazing they were. It's also said in Luke 20, verses 46 to 7, beware, Jesus says, beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in their flowing robes, love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. So Jesus is saying that the Pharisees were more obsessed about the places of honor and status in the community. Now, although these verses are really talking about the Pharisees, it also does give a really good reminder to all of us as well. You know that saying, fake it till you make it? Well, he's saying the opposite. Don't fake it till you make it. be genuine in your prayer. Jesus is saying that the prayers of the Pharisees here only went as far as the voices could carry, as far as their voice could carry. It's only the people who were standing nearby that heard it. Their prayers did not reach God because their prayer was not meant for God. As Jesus says, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Their reward was the praise of the people right there and then. And that was the only reward that they got. Instead, what does Jesus tell us to do? Close the door, not for show. He tells us to go into a room and pray with the door closed. How many people do that? Close the door when they go pray? So I think there's two reasons here, really, why he says to do this. Firstly, I think it's so that we aren't distracted, so that we're concentrating on spending time with God. We are saying that, God, you are important enough for us to want to spend some time with you. I'm pretty sure most of us could be pretty easily distracted at various stages. What are we going to have for dinner? What's the next thing that we need to be doing? What's the next job that needs to be done around the house? So Jesus here is saying, find some time for prayer. Now, the other reason why I think he's saying behind closed doors here is that any expressions that we might be having are more likely to be a genuine one because no one can see you, right? It's meant for God and God alone. In private, if you want to get down on your knees and you want to cry out to God and you want to pour out your heart and all the things that are going on and all the situations and everything that's on your heart, it can be an outward expression of how you're feeling, you know. God sees and he hears your heartfelt prayer. God knows that it's not for show because there's no one else around. He knows it's genuine. So this brings us to another question then. Does that mean we shouldn't pray in public? Of course we should pray in public. Absolutely. If we shouldn't have done, I wouldn't have done that at the beginning and at the service at the start. Absolutely. We should be praying for people. We should pray for situations, and corporate prayer is to be encouraged. Jesus prayed in public, and the apostles prayed in public. So it's got to be a good thing, right? But public prayer has got to be an extension of your private prayer. I'll say it again. Public prayer has to be an extension of your private prayer. There is absolute power in prayer. Do you believe it? Cool. In verse 7, Jesus is saying that you do not need to be like the babbling pagans with their big words. Now, it's not saying here that eloquent prayers and are not a good thing, and they sound really nice to listen to and all that sort of stuff, but it always comes back to your heart. What is the goal and the intention of your prayer? Who is it aimed at? Is it aimed at the people around you, or is it aimed at God? Public prayer and expression. If you want to publicly get on your hands and knees and pray, that's fine. It's proper. It's absolute proper if it is truly directed at God. You know, prayer doesn't have to be long. It can be really short. It can be a couple of words. It can even be a groan. And, you know, there are a whole variety and number of different types of prayer. Intercessory prayer, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of praise, and more. But we're not going to go into all of that today. There is power in prayer. Do you believe it? Cool. We're on the same page. If we look at 1 Kings, and this is an example, 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 to 39. So this is the story of where the prophet Elijah is sent to King Ahab. Elijah tells the king that he's abandoned God's abandoned God for the false god Baal. He asks him now to get 450 of Baal's prophets together and build an altar to Baal with a prepared bull. But the key thing here is not to light the sacrifice. Then he challenges them And Elijah says, whichever God, little g, answers by setting the altar alight is God, and that's the capital G. So there's only one Elijah, and there's 450 Baal prophets. So 450 people in a room, you're going to make a bit of noise, right? So the Baal prophets call on Baal to set the altar on fire. They dance around all morning, and Elijah taunts them, right? And he says, come on, shout a little louder. Surely, you know, this Baal, you know, maybe he's traveling, or maybe he's sleeping, or maybe he's busy. He taunts them a bit here. And so the Baal prophets shout even louder, and they start to slash themselves with swords and spears, and they keep prophesying all the way through to the evening. But there's no response. No one answers, and there's no one paid attention. Now Elijah is probably a little bit like me in this sense, where he probably secretly thought this was rather quite amusing, and he probably wanted to taunt them a little bit more. And then it's Elijah's turn, right? And so he builds this altar, he prepares the bull, and of course he doesn't light it as well. But what he does is he tells them, he says, pour four jugs of cold water all over the altar so that there's no chance that, you know, it could be easily lit. And so he just completely saturates the altar, and it's filled with water, and into these trenches that are completely full as well that are surrounding the altar as well. Then Elijah steps forward and he prays, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the sacrifice, all the wood, the stones and the soil, and all the water that was in the surrounding trenches as well. When all the people saw this, they all fell and they cried, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. So Elijah identified exactly who he was praying to, that he was following God's command and he was presenting his requests to God. The goal here was to turn people towards God. It was to prove that the God of Israel was the one true living God. The prayer was not to glorify Elijah. He was doing it in humility and he was doing it in obedience. There is power in God's prayer. There is power in prayer. Elijah's prayer here lasted probably about 20 seconds compared to the whole day of praying by the Baal prophets. Elijah's prayer was answered as it was God's will, and it was prayed to the one true living God, whereas the others were prayed to this fake God. So in Matthew 6:7, so Jesus is referred to the prayer of the Pharisees. They weren't praying to God, but again, praying to men. It comes back to the motivation of prayer. Otherwise, it just becomes babbling of words with no meaning, and there isn't a sincere heart's desire to seek and do God's will. Prayer does not have to be long or complicated. This brings me to my next point. God knows what you need. So verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So, does anybody know what this is? Squeegeeboard? Close. It's a Nido. This is a hairy Nido. There's different types of Nidos as well. So let me tell you a little bit of a story here. So Sophie, our middle child, she loves Nidos. She loves these sort of things. She loves squishies. She loves squishmallows, poppets, all these fidget things as well. And she was looking online, and there's this color-changing Nido that came up. And they weren't available in New Zealand at that stage. And so she was quite keen on one of these and super keen on it. And so we'd searched all of Wellington. We'd searched all of Hutt. We'd searched all of Porirua. We had a trip up to Auckland pre-COVID. And we searched all the shops, $2 shops and bookshops between here and Auckland. Yes, I did say Auckland, yes. And there are quite a few. Yeah. Anyway, just recently, we were in Paper Plus in Whitcoulls in Porirua here, and in the mall, and she came across this. She was so excited and went, oh, colour changing Neato, there's one here, and right here in Porirua. And so the problem was, though, was that she needed $8 to buy it, which she didn't have. So naturally, she came to her loving, very, very earthly father and was asking if she could buy one, right? And being me, I was a bit unconvinced of the value, despite them being called Needos, so that's spelled N-E-E-D-O-H, Needo. I thought it was more of a want-do. So as you can see, I sort of was thinking, well, I don't really think we need one of these at the moment. And I was going to sort of leave it behind. And I started to walk out of the Paper Plus. And she's like, how can you leave this behind? How can you leave a colour-changing Neato behind? And I said to Sophie, I just put one foot in front of the other. So before you judge me as being a terrible father, my plan is to buy her one, but to get her one for Christmas. So hopefully she's not going to watch this later on the recordings, because the cat will be out of the bag in that case. But over the last few weeks, she's been wanting me to buy her a colour-changing Neato. She's been going on about it. She's been pleading with me. She's been saying, what if I do these chores? What if I tidy my room? Will you buy me a colour-changing Neato then? So as that went on, and it sort of didn't really work out, she then asks my wife, Rebecca, she says, Mummy, can you buy me a colour-changing Neato? But thankfully, she knows my plan as well. So the next step is to then ask your older sister, Grace, and plead with her as well, can you get me a colour-changing Neato? And again, thankfully, Grace knew my plan as well. She said to Libby, I can't believe her friend. She said, I can't believe my dad would leave a colour-changing Neato behind. It's terrible. Then the other brilliant plan was she was going to go and invent something. And then she was going to sell it, and then she was going to make $8. But she also then realized that actually to invent something is going to take a little bit of time. And needless to say, last weekend, she went back into the shop again, and she said, there's only 3 colour-changing Neatos left. 3 left in the whole Porirua. You know, but this example really, really made me think, as I was, you know, preparing this, brilliant timing, and it was that how often us as children of God, how often we pray to our Heavenly Father for things. We pray for situations to change. We might pray for a new job. We might pray for a healthier marriage. We might pray for our poor health or sickness or for people. We may plead with God. We may bargain with Him. We may even speak poorly of Him. We might even see if others will be able to help us get our way. When we pray, God may say no, or He may say maybe, not right now, or He may say yes, go for it. Just like our earthly parents, our Heavenly Father wants to give us good things. That it's what we need rather than what we think we need. He sees the much bigger picture. And in the same way here, I want good things for our kids and I want good things for Sophie. You know, I know the plan, and the plan was for her to get a colour-changing Neato. So before anybody asks, I have got 2 colour-changing Neatos at home already before they all completely run out in Porirua. So they all are all there. But, you know, I know the plan, and the plan is for her to have the colour-changing Neato. But it's at Christmas time. It's hard for her not getting the answer that she wants. It's hard for her having to wait. It's hard. And it can be in God's time, and in this case, in my time, in terms of Christmas. She may think I am mean, but my plan is good for her. So it's exactly the same with God. We have to keep trusting Him in each and every step of the way. Sometimes things don't happen instantly, and we have to wait, and it's frustrating for us at times. So, how do we pray? That's the next logical question, right? So Jesus gives us some guidelines on how we should pray, and that's the Lord's Prayer. And we've got to remember, it's the Lord's Prayer, right? Not Quante's prayer. It's not Pastor Jeremy's prayer. You know, and it's not Joseph's prayer down the back. I'm just going to show you a bit of a skit here online, on the screen here. And it just goes through all the different types of prayer. And at times, hopefully, you know, we might sort of, we might sort of feel like we're sort of one of those prayer people earlier on. But at the end, there'll be a section which shows the Lord's Prayer. And the text will come up on as he's going through it. But he's sort of praying it in a sort of a modern version. So I'll just get you to have a look at that.
My prayer life is vibrant and it's active daily. I like to commune with God at nighttime. I get under those warm covers and I kiss my wife goodnight. Then I just start talking to God, just me and God, tell him everything. Makes me just sleepy just thinking about it. And there I am, just laying in bed, laying out my request to him, and he's hearing me, and I know that I'm in good company with him. Where was I?
The efficiency of one's prayers are directly congruent to the position of one's body. Therefore, the legs should be saying, God, help me. Amen.
There are times that me and God do not talk, and that is not God's fault. That is mine. I just get so busy. And so when I do end up talking to God, I really just try to impress him, give him a show, just to show him how much I love him. So excuse me, will you, as I pray to God.
O Heavenly Father, beseech me not unto thee. How now? Brown cow, oh, thy soul is so dry, and if I can just catch a morsel of who you are, so verily, merrily, down the stream.
God, I just want to be used by you. God, I want
to be salt and light and light. Salt and sight and love and peppers and oregano and pepperoni and black olives and those little bit.
When I like to get my prayer on, there's some things I keep in mind. I think it's totally awesome that God is like Santa Claus and he wants to give you the things that you want. Therefore, you need to keep lists of things. My list currently has 745 prayer requests on them. So then when I go to the Lord in prayer, it looks a little something like this. I'll just pray real quick. Let's see, the uno thing on my list is my mom, and so I'll pray for her now. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this sweet salt of the earth lady that you have blessed me with to be my mother, and I tell you thank you. And although I know that I'm called to respect her, and I give her all due respect, there's also an issue of something she truly needs, and that is to stop a yapping. Lord, she yaps. And she doesn't know how to stop yapping. So could you please make her mute just for a day? Nothing permanent. Don't hurt her. I love her. Just mute her. Take your big God remote and push mute on her channel. That would be great. Henceforth, I would go on and pray all 746 things.
God, you are greater than anything this world has to offer. And I can't wait for you to come back and get us. But until that time comes, would you help me just to live my life day after day as if I'm just walking hand in hand with you? God, I have a lot of needs. And I have a lot of wants. And sometimes I get those things confused. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs. And be thankful when you give me those other things that I just want. God, I have blown it so many times today, and I'm sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, as I start this day out, I'm just reminded that this world is filled with so many spiritual potholes. Please help me to walk in such a way where I won't stumble so much. And as I'm going through this day, God, Help me to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honor. May the life that I live be a life of worship to you. Amen.
Cool. Thank you for that. Awesome. So, which one are you? Anybody, Brett? No. Hopefully not the sleepy one. But at times we can probably identify with some of those at various stages. I think the listener is probably one as well. So there's a lot in the Lord's Prayer. And so I'm going to try and sum it up. Essentially, it's a blueprint for us to use in prayer. It's a pattern to follow. It is not a substitute. So if we were to pray just the Lord's Prayer and it has no meaning in your heart, or you don't actually mean it when you actually are praying it, you might as well be reading the instructions of a recipe. Really? Yep. So just like our earlier verses about Elijah, he identified exactly who he was praying to. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. It wasn't to Baal, it wasn't to a statue or a pot plant. And in this case here, the Lord's Prayer begins with, "Our Father." So this is the creator of the universe. This is the Alpha and the Omega. This is the beginning and the end. This is the Almighty King. But why does Jesus call us to address God as our Father? Jesus doesn't say, "My Father." He says, "Our Father," doesn't he? And it's really here to remind us that we are all part of this big family, the family of believers. And that's why we share the same Father. So, hallowed be your name. Hallowed just means basically holy or sanctified. So it means your name is holy. As Christians, it's God's holy name that is to be praised above all other names. It's not a swear word that is so commonly used these days. When we praise God, we are drawn closer to Him. Your kingdom come. So this is recognizing that it's God's kingdom and it's not our kingdom. It means God is in charge of all of it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is a petition of surrender to the will of God. This can be challenging at times, as to what we are asking God for may not always line up with God's will. So this part here is where we're humbly asking God to give us strength to follow His will. In Luke 22:42, so this is before Jesus is arrested, He says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." So Jesus recognized what he was about to face and how hard it was, but he still wanted the will of the Father to be done in the situation. Jesus is asking strength to be carried on. So he knows how hard it can be for us as well. But in these tough situations, we have to pray and we have to trust that He will handle it in a way and that His will be what carries through. And with that, that gives us a sense of peace in that as well, that everything is handed over to God. Give us our day, our daily bread. So this is not just about the physical needs, about what we're going to have for lunch, you know, of what our bodies need to keep us going. It's also about the spiritual food as well. So the nourishment of the body and the soul. That nourishment of the soul comes from the Word of God, from the Bible, which is our living Word. And forgive us our debts as we also forgive, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So this is about God forgiving us for our sins, but it's also forgiving those that might have hurt us as well and sinned against us. So this can also be a really tough one as well. It can be hard sometimes to forgive those that have hurt us. God forgives us when we hurt Him. And in the same way, He wants us to extend grace to others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Temptation is not a sin in itself, but it can cause us to sin. So God doesn't lead us to sin. We're more than capable of doing that ourselves, given our free will. We make the choice. But God promises to provide a way out of any temptation that we may face. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Here we're asking God to guide us, to steer us clear of temptation and sin, to protect us from the devil's grasp, and for us to stay within God's will. So to sum up the Lord's Prayer, it focuses on our thoughts and our prayers towards what is important. It identifies who are we praying to, puts God in the highest place, we accept his will and plan for us, we know his word, we seek forgiveness, we love each other through forgiveness, and we resist evil. Prayer, in the end, simply is conversation with God. The Lord's Prayer helps us focus this. But effectively, what I want to encourage you to do is just have conversation. Just pray in the end. Just do it. In the same way as we would talk with our kids, maybe our best friends or our spouse, well, maybe not exactly the same way. It's about having that regular conversation. It's about having regular discussion and talks with them. How would you feel if your best friend didn't call you for a week, didn't speak to you, and the next thing you know, they ring you up and say, I need to borrow your car. And then there's silence, nothing heard again for another week. And then the next thing is, can you look after my kids? And nothing for another month, maybe. Can I borrow something else? Can I borrow your outfit or something? I don't know. So prayer is conversation. God just wants that relationship with you. He just wants to talk with you, and he just wants to hear about the things that are going on in your life. He wants to know your struggles. He wants to know all the good things that are going on as well. He wants to know if you've had a really bad day. So, let us pretend that this glass is you. And we're going to pretend that the balloon here is God. Sometimes it feels like God is out here somewhere. But actually, God is always with us, and God just wants to make contact with us. He just wants us to be connected to him. So what is it that connects us with God? We're going to pretend these matches are prayer. Prayer is like a spark. Prayer can be simple, and it can be long as well. But in this case, it's going to be simple because my prayer is, God, I hope this works. 4 out of 10 is about the stats. So when we pray, it's like a spark, and that's not going to work. So I'm going to try that again. I knew that wasn't going to work, that one. Has it worked? So what happens with prayer? Prayer connects us to God. So I don't want to lift it off too high in case it falls. And it will smash through all the glasses. But prayer is what connects us to God. It draws us closer. It draws him in. It draws us closer to him. You know, God may prompt you to pray in the middle of the night for someone or while you're doing the dishes. If you feel a sense or a niggling or an overwhelming urgency in your spirit, I strongly recommend that you act on it because that can be the Spirit telling you to pray. You don't know what's going on in that situation. It might make all the difference to someone else. So we have a friend who was going through some pretty tough stuff. And she was praying to God about what to do. And I've been praying as well. We've been praying about what we could do. And in this situation, as her prayer finished, within seconds, I had been on the phone to her and had given her an answer. God can and does answer prayer instantly within seconds if he chooses to. You know, there are, I'm sure lots of you will have situations where you've had prayer answered straight away. And sometimes prayer just takes, the answer doesn't come for a long time. And sometimes you're still waiting for that answer. These situations, you know, when prayer is answered, can be really encouraging for all of us. Prayer can be that spark. So, does anybody know who Stanley Burrell is? He isn't a well-known theologian. He was famous in the late 80s, early 90s. He even had a Christian television show. He had movies, he had cartoons, he was a businessman, he would ads. Part of the clue was in the title of the sermon. Did anybody catch it? No? Pray. Pray to make it today. It's this guy. MC Hammer. It's not a very good picture because it was from the 80s. So he's famous for his pants. He's famous for his dance moves and his rap. He's famous for his song, You Can't Touch This. Yeah? That made it to number 8 on the US Billboard at the time. But the other one that was really popular in the US that made it to number 2 was Pray. And as I was preparing for this, actually, it sort of blasted me back to the 90s for a little bit. And it's, for some reason, that song just came back to me. And the lyrics of the song are really about his life. Does anybody actually remember the song, or am I just... Yeah, okay, I've got a few nods, a few. And so the lyrics of the song are about his life and the things that he sees and what he's doing in terms of his work and his community. And the answer to it is pray. I say we pray just to make it today. And so the word prayer in that song occurs 147 times. So what I would like us to do is, I'm going to be a little bit naughty and try to get this song stuck in your head. So we're going to pray a little bit. So Joseph's just going to play a little bit of the song, Pray, the lyrics, and hopefully it just catches in your mind. And I'm going to put the lyrics up for the last part of that song as well, because it's actually got some really good stuff. It just reminds us just to pray to make it today. So hopefully that's going to stick in your head a little bit more now. So remember, we've got to pray just to make it today. We do. We have to pray in all situations. As I finish up, Steve, can you bring the music team up? Remember that prayer is simply a conversation with God. Pray from the heart. It is what helps us draw us closer to God. We have to pray just to make it today. Be encouraged. Keep praying. And so if you'd like prayer for anything, there's going to be the team around here at the end, at the front, to help with that. Prayer has to be our first solution. It is the answer. It's what we need to go to first. It's not the last thing when we've tried everything else and exhausted stuff ourselves. Prayer needs to be what we go to first. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sent Jesus, Lord, as a sacrifice for our sins, Lord, and that one day we're going to spend eternity with you. Lord, I pray that we find more time in our busy weeks, Lord, to spend time with you, to have conversation with you, no matter what we're doing, whether that's the dishes, whether that's driving into work, or whether that's mowing the lawns, Lord, whatever it is. I just pray, Lord, that we just have conversation and more of it with you. Lord, as we pray, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that let your will be done and that it is your will, Lord. That it is your will and what we seek, Lord, that it is your will. And Lord, we just pray that that our lives can be for your service. And we just pray, Lord, that you will just keep using our talents and all that you've given us, Lord, in this coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.